Well, there will always be shock when these things happen, Frank, but there have been other incidents recently where bombs have been found. So there have been indicators that dissidents were planning attacks, indicators of an intention to try to step in, if you like, to this frame of crisis at this time. So not complete surprise is the answer to your question.
The officer was lucky he wasn't killed, mm-hmm. and it was being emphasised by the police this morning that people in the vicinity could have been killed.
And these are the fine lines between life and death. You've heard the description of the attack, automatic gunfire, shots fired from a car across a garage forecourt. Two police officers there, two community police officers, one wounded, hit twice in the arm. Other people on the forecourt filling up their cars. The Chief Constable, George Hamilton, this morning describing events as completely reckless. The police saying that their main line of inquiry is violent dissident Republicans involved. The threat here is always assessed as severe, meaning an attack is highly likely. And as I said to you a moment ago, it comes at a time of political crisis, the collapse of the political institutions, an election called for March the 2nd. This, the dissidents trying to step into that space that would fit with past patterns, that at times of political crisis we see those dissident groups attempting to increase their activity. The vast bulk of that activity is interrupted. But there is no such thing, and we've talked about this before, Frank, no such thing as 100% intelligence. Not every attack will be prevented. The dissidents will be looking at policing patterns, where they go, where they patrol, and they will also be looking for opportunities. And last night they've carried out this attack, and this officer has been wounded.
I just want to remind people of what ACC Hamilton, Mark Hamilton, actually. It's a big day for Sinn Féin, big announcements and whatever. Is part of this to embarrass Sinn Féin?
Well, the dissidents have made clear many times that they do not support the Sinn Féin peace process. So whether it's about embarrassing Sinn Féin or whether it's about just trying to get into that space and carry out an attack, get themselves noticed, get themselves into the headlines. As I've said, Frank, you know, at moments of political crisis here, we do see the dissident organisations trying to step up their activity. There was a statement last night from the Police Federation also. I'll just read you a paragraph from it, Frank. They said this attempted murder underlines the fragility of our peace. It's one reason why the threat level here remains classed severe, which means a terrorist attack is highly likely. And goes on to say officers already exercise great vigilance, and the statement appeals for them to remain on high alert at this time. So that an indication that that threat is there, the threat always assessed as severe. What we're expecting in terms of political developments today, Frank, this follows Martin McGuinness's resignation as Deputy First Minister, also his decision not to run in the election. He made clear last week that he was stepping aside to allow for a new political leader here in Northern Ireland. Sinn Féin will hold an event at Stormont this afternoon where an announcement will be made. And the expectation is that Michelle O'Neill will step into that role as leader of the Sinn Féin Assembly Group at Stormont.
You think that is done and dusted? There's been lots of discussion and debate about Conor Murphy possibly being the person whose name, but over the weekend it seemed to become clear that Michelle O'Neill is in the driver's seat on this one.
That's what I'm being told, Frank. There, obviously, we wait a few hours now for confirmation of that news. There is an expectation that Gerry Adams will speak at that event at Stormont this afternoon. That Mary Lou McDonald will be there. It's very possible that Martin McGuinness will be there also. But the information I'm picking up is that Michelle O'Neill will be that new leader.
How well do you think she would work in any future get-together, for want of a better term, that would be cobbled by Sinn Féin and the DUP?
Well, I don't think we're looking at something that can be cobbled together. Frank, I think this is a very different crisis. It's not an election straight back into government. It will be an election into a long negotiation. That negotiation needing to deliver certainty about partnership and power sharing at Stormont, needing to deliver certainty around issues that have been impossible to settle over the best period of a decade and more. The legacy of the past, a process to address that, an Irish Language Act, the shelf plan for Amir's Lonkesh Peace Centre. So Michelle O'Neill will be working in a collective leadership. That's the way Sinn Féin operates. But that negotiation that will come after the election will involve the main parties and the governments. The talk of the need for a new agreement and a new agreement to achieve implementation on old agreements and those impossible issues that have not been settled. So all of that, Frank, suggests a long negotiation and a political space. And we've seen how the dissidents have tried to use that period of crisis last night, so a difficult space in which there will be fears that the dissidents will also try to increase their activity.
If it is Michelle O'Neill, and it looks like as if it is going to be Michelle O'Neill, so when Michelle O'Neill is announced as the person who in the future may be the Deputy First Minister, or indeed if the electorate decided the First Minister, or maybe not even either First Minister or Deputy First Minister, depending on the outcome of the election and the negotiations, if it is her who's in a prime position, will she have to deliver significant work within the Sinn Féin working group to have the kudos of Martin McGuinness?
They are big shoes to fill. But even when Martin McGuinness was Deputy First Minister and Chief Negotiator, he was working with that collective leadership. I think what needs to be delivered, Frank, as far as Republicans are concerned, beyond this election is certainty. That's the word that I'm hearing, certainty, qualitative change. So a partnership that is a partnership in government, that is not one party doing its own thing. And these issues that keep causing difficulty within the political process. You know, we had a fresh start agreement a year ago, which became a false start. So there is a mood that there needs to be certain agreements on those issues of the legacy process, the Irish Language Act, the Mears Lonkesh project. Unionists, of course, will bring their issues to any negotiation, mandatory coalition versus voluntary coalition in terms of how the institutions work. Issues such as parading and flags. So all of that is going to be shoveled on to the negotiating table. But there is a view that this negotiation will take a considerable period of time. Beyond the election, there are 3 weeks to get the Assembly back up and running, to get a new executive in place. No one is suggesting that within that time frame that new agreement can be achieved. Unionists are talking about the potential for a long period of direct rule as negotiations continue. So that's the uncertainty, the what's not clear beyond the election, the uncharted waters beyond this election, Frank. But the very clear view that unless you can get to a position where there is certainty, where there is credibility about the new political agreement, sustainability in terms of the institutions, then there is no point going back into an executive to continue the rise of the past period of time.
We're in complex and, after last night, worrying times. Brian, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.